This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is episode 427, on our way to 2000. It's been a good week. We got a lot of good stuff done this week. We're ramping up for our beta test that got shoved off because we couldn't decide what to use for a from address on the notifications, but that's been worked out now. So, gotta amp back up and get everybody kind of moving in the right direction again here. And that's all going well. I finished up my first sprint on book 7. Actually got a little better focus on where I'm going in book 7. The beta readers are coming back in with their input for book 7. So had a little bit of happy news. One of my new beta readers from England, she had signed up and I had actually mailed her a book to England. And so she, read through it. I had also sent her a PDF so she could get started. And she seemed to have liked the book and enjoyed them. Said, I'm going to have to go back and read some of the other ones now. So that's good. Have got some nice comments from people about the book. And so that's all well. Today is officially the day when all the input is supposed to be back in. But as I'm fond of telling them about this time, the Filipinos always had a saying, what is your last deadline? Because the Filipinos didn't really get this concept of a deadline. So it was always, so what is your last deadline? So I'm going to write that email today and get set up to actually start doing the editing tomorrow after I get back from grocery shopping. Because tonight I'm going to be in for a little bit helping with sound at church. And then when I get home, I'm going to go down to my son-in-law's to see his marvelous new coffee-making machine that can roast a pound of coffee and something like 10 or 12 minutes. So I'm going to go see that in action and get some coffee roasted at the same time. So that'll be fun. And I think I know what the animals are going to be on the cover for the next book, which is book 7, which is what I'm working on now. I'm going to use Scottish Highlander cows on it. So that should be fun. I actually found a picture already on iStock. Not iStock photo, Shutterstock. This is moving forward. I'm going to push this back. There we go. The recorder was moving forward and it was getting ready to fall in my lap. So that's all well and good. Really cute photo of these two cows, mom and dad cow just staring at the camera. So I have to put a ring in dad cow's nose, but I can get that done. Which is, there's a reason for it in book 7. So that's all well, that's all good, it's all going fine. My mom is in the process of recovering from her broken hip, so we have been getting my dad down there. We've been coordinating to get my dad down there as much as we can and have him spend a little time with her. It's my turn tomorrow to do that, so, and Saturday, and probably Sunday. But my daughter has been helping with that. My wife's been helping with that. So that all goes well. Our friend of the family had dropped by to see Mom today and actually caught a picture of her in physical therapy, standing up. So that's good. That's good. Step at a time. Step at a time. Literally, in this case. So all is well there. I think that's about it. My dad's doing okay. You know, obviously he misses having my mom at home, but he seems to be doing okay. We got him some new hearing aids in. They seem to be working. Yay. So, you know, we're just moving forward. I came across a TED Talk a little while ago now. It's been a couple of weeks. It's just one of those TED Talks that was out in a TEDx conference. So it was not a, you know, official TED Talk. But I found it very interesting. And very interesting from the perspective of faith and belief and how they impact our lives and how we go about moving forward in faith and belief, although not necessarily strictly from a perspective of Christianity, just as a general principle, how do we move forward? And I thought what the lady had to say was very interesting. I don't know really what her religious background is and those things, but I think what this demonstrates is that there are engines in the world, and those engines have been designed to respond. You know, whether it's just in your own body or whether you can affect things outside your body, you know, who knows? But I do believe that your attitude and your perspective and what you see ahead for you really have huge consequences for your life. And this particular TED Talk, I felt really illustrated that well, and I very much resonated with what the lady was saying, so I thought, well, this is probably pretty good. Anyways, the name of the TED Talk was The Hidden Code for Transforming Dreams into Reality. It was by Mary Morrissey. Had never heard of her before, but she sounds like some kind of a motivational speaker, and she did quite a good job, I felt like, with this. So she started off by saying, you know, what would it be like if you imagined what your life would be like a year from now, that we all got back together for this TED conference again, and that we reviewed all the goals that we had set, and what would those goals look like, and what would you like to see later in your life, etc., etc. She had a nice kind of illustration about the fact that life is a spiral. That we are in a universe where everything is spiraling into something else. She said the little blade of grass that presses itself through the cement, the way a tree presses itself out and grows, we're constantly moving and constantly becoming. And she said, humans feel this same thing, although we feel it a little differently. She said, we feel it through discontent and longing that we're looking for change, we're moving forward in change, and change is always happening around us. If we just keep breathing, we will create results. Years ago, I used to say, you're going to make disciples every day. Period. You are going to make disciples because people will see your behavior and they will be affected by your behavior. The question then becomes, what type of disciples are you making every day? What are you leading people to? What are you helping empower people to do? What are you encouraging people with? Or discouraging, as the case may be. So she was talking about the different areas in our lives where we create results every day. And she was talking about creating results in health and well-being, and creating results in relationships, and creating results in vocation, in what we do, we're going to become, something is going to happen with our vocational skills over the next year. Are we going to become more skilled? Are we going to become less skilled because we aren't really applying ourselves? Something will happen. And the last thing that she talked about was seeing results in terms of money, freedom, or money and freedoms or constraints, that there's always going to be results that we're going to be creating in those four areas. And that's very true. She talked about some of her history that was really pretty fascinating. She has done a lot of stuff, has had some successes. Said that she has been fascinated for years by the processes of transformation. She wrote a book on it called Field of Dreams, Building Your Field of Dreams. She was very successful, was a PBS special, etc., etc. She was able to sit with the Dalai Lama over the course of 7 years, having week-long conversations where she would just talk to them. She has interviewed lots and lots of people about how they transformed themselves. She even got a chance to, she talked with Martin Luther King's kids and Gandhi's grandkids. She said she even got a chance to talk with Nelson Mandela and met with Nelson Mandela. And she said, how does this work? She said, how are you a person who is sentenced to 27 years in hard prison, and then not only do you actually survive that and get out of prison, but then from that you go on to become the president of your country? How does that happen? And about this time I started getting interested in, oh yeah, this would be very interesting to see what these people have to say. What is her interpretation? And she talked about the things, as she called it, the things that dream builders use either consciously or unconsciously to transform their results so that the dream wins over the conditions, so that the dream wins over time, so that the dream wins over all kinds of circumstances, no matter how long it takes. She went back and she talked about her own experience in life and how that she got pregnant early on and she had to, she could no longer go to her high school. This was years and years and years ago, you know, and the effect that that had on her parents and the fact she had a go to high school at some out-of-the-way off-roads high school because they wouldn't let her go to high school anymore. And she talked about coming down with these huge problems physically in her kidneys. And it's interesting because she said she was in the hospital and she was going to have surgery. They were going to take out her kidneys, her one kidney, because it was all diseased. And she was in this Portland hospital, having been fatally diagnosed with kidney disease, and one kidney was totally destroyed by nephritis, and the other kidney was 50% destroyed with active nephritis. And she said in 1967, this is a death sentence. So there's no dialysis, don't have transplants. Every medical doctor, specialist surgeon, they all said the same thing. The best we can do is give you maybe 6 months. If we can get the blood toxin levels in your body reduced enough to remove the kidney, then maybe you'll have 6 months. And she said she was terrified. And she said her belief system at that time was that this is happening to me because I'm being punished for being a bad girl. Oh, rats. Hold on, hold on, hold on. I'm not doing this. They are resurfacing the road out here. And I forgot I need to take a little detour. Because if you don't, you have to get in behind a pace car. And I mean, they have chosen a huge strip. It's probably... It is 3 or 4, maybe 5 miles of road that they've chosen to resurface. And it's down to one lane of traffic. And then they have a pace car that comes. And when it's coming your direction, you can get in behind it. And, you know, you follow it, and he's not going very fast. Well, he has to go all the way to the other end, and then he turns around and comes all the way back the other direction, and that's when you get in behind him. So my son-in-law was saying that when there was a lot of traffic, it was like 20 minutes before he made the stretch that usually only takes a couple of minutes to take. However, there is a detour. They don't necessarily tell you about the detour, but we know there's a detour. So I'm just going that detour. It'll only add a couple of minutes to my time here, and we'll be fine. Anyway, so she's in the hospital. She's getting ready to have this surgery where they're going to take out a kidney. Because if she doesn't have it, you know, she's dead. And even if she does have it, she doesn't have very long because she only has one kidney left. And it's eaten up. And she said, so I was, the night before, she says, a woman walks into my room about 10 o'clock at night and she identifies herself as a chaplain who is offering prayer for people who are going to have surgeries the next day. Did I want prayer? And she said, I'm thinking at this point that the God of my upbringing probably needed to have some anger management classes, but it's the only God I do at the time. And I said, well, maybe. So she pulls up a chair to my bed, next to my bed, and she starts talking to me about what's going on. And she said, so I'm telling her, she tells her everything. And then she says something to me that I think really is very interesting and very profound. She said, Mary, everything in this universe is created twice. You already know this, but everything that's created is created twice. Because first, before it's created, it has to exist in someone's mind, and then it comes into being. And on the basis of that, she starts talking to this young woman about the power of the mind, the power of knowing, the power of believing. And she said, let's see. Basically, she said, I'm driving down a windy road and I can't really look down at my notes much. But in essence, she said this. She said, first of all, can you believe that if you see things in your mind with great clarity, that you can bring them about? She said, for instance, can you see in your mind? You've said that what you want to do is you want to teach and you want to raise your son. Can you see in your mind when he comes to kindergarten and you, not someone else, you are walking him down the hall? Can you hear the clicking of your heels? Can you see yourself dropping him off in his class and then turning to go into your class because you're the teacher you've always wanted to be? Can you see yourself at 18, you there, seeing his graduation? So she went, you know, all through that, and Mary said, you know, at the time, she said, I can't do that. She said, all right. She said, so how about this? Can you imagine all the toxicity that you have felt toward yourself? All the anger, all the guilt. Can you imagine all of that going down into that diseased kidney? And that when they take that out tomorrow, that will be the end of it. And you'll be free of all that. And so she said, you know, maybe. So she told her to imagine that. She said, just remember that there's an infinite number of possibilities in life. And she said, a number of possibilities, and there has to be one where instead of we do this prayer and pull it in the blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. She said, I didn't know if it was possible, but I could tell she believed it was possible. And I believe it was the first time I ever chose to believe on the frequency of someone else's belief who was operating at a higher domain. You know, I think that there is something to that. A lot of times, with faith healers and stuff, or healing evangelists, we place the faith on the evangelist. But I really think that the faith is coming from the person who's healed. My dad tells a story of a friend of his who was a healing evangelist, came through, I think it was William Caldwell, came through, a whole bunch of people in the church where my dad was pioneering up in Boynton City, came forward for prayer. There were too many. So William Caldwell calls up the ministers who are present, and he says, okay, he says, we want you to, you know, pray for the sick. And there was this minister. So he goes over, he tries to find somebody he doesn't think that, you know, is really in need of that great a prayer. And so he finds this mother with her young girl, and they walk up, and he says, well, what would you like Jesus to do for you today? And the mom says, well, she's blind in one eye. And this guy's thinking, oh, rats. So he prays for her, and then he gets ready to turn away, and she says, well, aren't you going to test my daughter? Oh, okay, well, let's test her. So, you know, he put the hand over the eye, and he says, little girl, how many fingers? And the girl can see out of the eye. And this preacher does not believe it, so much so that he actually, if I got the story right, he actually asks her, little girl, were you really blind in that? Because he can't believe that this has happened. So it wasn't his faith. I'm backing into my garage. It wasn't his faith that did anything. But I really think that this miraculous stuff, as I've mentioned before, it has to do with faith, and it has to do with there's something that goes click. You know, I've experienced that thing that goes click. And when it goes click, it's good. Doesn't always go click. But anyway, so she says, so all the genesis of this disease that is going on inside you, we're going to put it in the kidney, and that's going to get removed. And when it's removed, instead of you getting worse, you're actually going to get better. Could you believe that's possible? And I didn't know if it was possible, she said, but it was the first time. So anyway, so But she said after she had the kidney operation, she said she kept remembering that. And she said, subtly over time, my numbers not only stabilized but improved. 4 or 5 months later, I'm sitting in a doctor's office with the surgeon, the specialist, my regular GP. And they're scratching their head saying, we have no science for why your one kidney is not only not getting worse, it seems to be functioning perfectly fine. And there's no, we don't have any science for this. And we're going to put down medical anomaly on your chart. Whatever you've been doing, just keep doing it. And she said, and that's when I began to do all the things that I told you about. I got into undergraduate school, over time. I reflected on what had happened. And I studied people transforming themselves who get results. And she says, either consciously or unconsciously, the three things that every one of them do. So anyways, I'm back home. But let's see, those three things are, and they were all just very practical things. Number one, you want to create with clarity a specific dream. You know, Abraham saw a city whose builder and maker was God. And he believed. She also said, in that seeing with clarity a specific dream, refuse to stay discouraged. She said, I didn't say refuse to get discouraged, because we're all going to get discouraged, and not everything we try is going to work out. But we learn to walk by falling down. We didn't just fall down when we were little. It was normal for us to fall down, and it's also normal to fall down as we move through life. And so when you fall down, you get up. I cannot read my notes here. Let's see, the other two were, first one was number one, see with clarity. You may have to just go listen to this TED Talk. Don't stay down. I think that's number two. And number three, be more interested in the growth that will happen for you. I don't know. I should have made better notes. I'm trying something new. I'm trying something new now with YouTube because they have this automated transcript thing, but it's not formatted or laid out very well. And so, et cetera, et cetera. What was the third one? You've never done this growth. You're going to be a little unstable. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, here it is. No, here it is. So, if you're willing to be interested in a little bit of in a growth because it's more for you than what's been in the service of your dream. So, three things. Be specific about your dream. Decline to stay discouraged and be in service of your dream through the growth that happens. There you go. So, a little scattered today, but that's okay. This is Phil Ferrand on my way to 2000 podcasts. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.